This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 117 of What Did You Watch This Week? I'm talking with a weird chin today.
Did you borrow somebody else's chin?
I don't mean a weird chin, just a weird vocalization.
Oh. Okay.
Of my bottom jaw. I don't know why.
I don't either. Seems like it's rather uncomfortable.
It actually was.
It looks kind of painful.
It didn't feel good at all.
I would suggest not doing that again in the future.
Yeah, I won't.
I don't think that's
beneficial
for you.
No. I don't think that'll work. I think that was weak sauce.
We need like a little chalkboard up here, and there'll be like ones that work, ones that don't.
That was a
you
don't.
Can add that one to the don't.
Add it to the don't?
Yep. Add up there with the old prospector.
Can I say dizzled?
No.
I tried.
Most people nowadays can't say dizzled because it's done. It's dizzled.
I'm talking Carney.
Oh.
From wrestling speak.
Oh, I don't. Anyways, okay.
So, yeah. Glad we covered the bases there.
Yes. So stuff was watched this week.
Stuff and hey. Things.
Nope. Stop it. Stupid touch screen.
Sometimes it's not the greatest.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot that I watched this week.
So, what did you watch this week?
Well, we'll get to Westworld later, obviously.
Yeah.
Since, you know, we're on embargo. I watched Reverie.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't. Go ahead, though. I just didn't. I tried. I wanted to, but I was like, eh.
Like you tried? Like you pressed
play? I queued it up. Yep. I queued it up and everything. I hit play. I started watching. I said, no. It stopped. I was like, I don't want to watch this right now.
It's not bad. We got a little more insight because we met the guy who helped this girl set up the company. He wrote the code, and now he's trying to get one of their little reverie pads so that he can break in. And so there's all kinds of shenanigans going on behind the scenes there. And we met a guy who is agoraphobic, among other things. He has OCD, and agoraphobia is a big one for him. He wants to get his neighbor's kid on a drug trial because the kid's dying.
Okay.
And there's a drug trial going on that he could save his life, but he's not on the list. And they've tried to go through the normal channels and couldn't get him on the list. So he's been using Reverie to devise a plan to break into their facility and get the drug for the kid.
Okay, that's interesting.
It is.
That's kind of a neat...
Like, she goes in there, and there are four different doors, and each one leads to a different part. He's like, okay, down this corridor, there's security like this, 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 so I'd have to... So he practices all the time. The one thing that always stymies him at the end is walking out the door with the stuff, because he's agoraphobic, and he can't stand the sunlight. So he gets...
Even in Reverie, he can't do it, even in his own... Wow.
Yep. So...
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. So he gets her to help him. He says, I'll come out if you agree to help me steal this thing. So she goes in there with him, and she goes through the simulations that he's got, and they end up stealing it. And they get out there, and, oh, no, we fooled you. This was just a reverie. But what she does is she contacted the guy who owns the company with the drug and told him, yeah, this guy has been running simulations on how to defeat your security, and we just did it. So you should hire him. And he's like, definitely I'd hire him. He goes, how about instead of a salary, you give this kid your medicine? He's like, I could definitely do that. So he gets the medicine for the kid. He's a freelancer anyway because he doesn't like to leave the house. So it actually tied up pretty well.
That's kind of neat.
Yep.
did they ever, and maybe I missed this, but did they ever find, like, remember the episode where it ended and it looked like she was inside a reverie?
Yeah, this one starts right off like she's out in the street. I felt like I missed something, but she's like in a park or something, and this guy's grabbed her, and she's not sure if she's still inside of a reverie or not. Yeah. And he takes her to a diner, and he's like, yeah, I'm going through the same stuff you're going through. Trust me, it gets worse because I've been going through it longer. And this is the guy who turns out helped start the company. You know, he wrote the code, and this girl's
like,
what
was she seeing then? Was she in a reverie when she's like saw her niece? And so whose reverie was she in?
It's...
Was she in her own, but she doesn't need the machine to get there?
I think that's what he was alluding to when he was saying that it's part of the breakdown.
So she can drift in and out of her own on her own.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was something about that house, too. Honestly, I missed that part, but there was something about that house is important to them. It was like a safe house for them, or it's the house where they started this program.
Okay.
And that's why she was drawn to it.
Okay.
So, yeah, it wasn't bad. What'd you watch this week?
I watched the first episode of season 2 of Glow.
Oh, okay.
Just the first episode. Season 2's back. There are 10 episodes in this season as well. And essentially, it kind of it picks up where it left off. Like, it picks up a few weeks later.
Okay.
And they've been picked up for the first season, and now they're going to run a season of the show. And one of the girls has been replaced, and so of course, no one likes the new girl.
Because the actress was replaced, or because
Cherry, who turned out to be his daughter.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Was replaced. She left the show, but she's just apparently staying with him.
Okay.
And, like, in the first season, when they filmed the first one, like, the network didn't give a shit.
Right.
Because they didn't know how it was going to succeed, fail, or whatever. So they did the pilot, and that was it. Well, now it's been picked up. So now you're seeing the side of TV where the network is putting their hands in there, and it's kind of annoying.
I love this, but what if?
Yeah, exactly. And so there's a lot of, like, pissing contests going on over things.
Yeah.
The half hour went by like that. And of course, you know, Debbie, who is the prima donna from the first season, mm-hmm. she hasn't changed. She still is just
the world revolves around.
Yes. Stuck up bitch who is out for herself and is not really part of the team, only when it benefits her.
Right.
That was immediately reestablished. So,
and does she still hate, Allison Brie's character?
Because there's some awkwardness between the two of them. There's some awkwardness.
I mean, there was an affair going on between her husband and...
Yes, you know, yes. But there's some awkwardness. But there was no wrestling in the first show.
No. So it was like wrestling.
Yeah, first half hour just talking. But, I mean, as far as pace and style and humor and drama and on and on. It's right on top of the first season, this first episode is. So I know the rest is going to be great, most likely.
I almost started watching it, but it came out just, you know, yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I was like, meh, I'll wait. That way I can, you know, barrel through all of them. I still got to get to Luke Cage as well.
Well, I've been watching that too.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah.
I can't get over how much I really like
it. One thing that I read.
But I really like it.
Because I try to avoid as much as I can.
Yeah.
But I saw one headline that kept popping out, and it said, Iron Fist is finally been fixed by season 2 of Luke Cage. Because they said that...
What do they mean by that?
I read a little bit into it, and it said that Danny Rand finally feels like Iron Fist rather than some petulant asshole kid who can't make up his mind. And
okay.
They said he seems confident, he seems focused, he seems meditated.
Yes, he is in episode number 10, and that's the last one I watched.
Okay.
So I have 3 episodes left. I'm really enjoying it. The format of this season is completely different to last season as far as just style and flow and dialogue, and there's more humor in it. Like, there's some good humor where it needs to be, kind of. I like Bushmaster.
Yeah.
I think he's a great foil or villain. You know, Mariah's still in there as a villain. Shades is in there and everything. So it's working better for me this season than last season did.
Good.
And it's kind of weird. Like, each episode has, like, before they have the Marvel thing, and then before the opening credits, they have, like, a little bumper thing, and there's always some sort of joke or humor in it of some kind.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we have the opening credits. And then at some point in the show, there's a montage where they have an artist singing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people I have no idea who they are. Others I recognize. And it's just like it's a live performance at a club or here or whatever. And during that song, and it's, they sing the whole song, there's a montage going on, moving the storylines forward. But it's done in a really cool way. So it's kind of a neat thing they're doing with that. So I'm really enjoying this season a lot more than I am last season.
Nice.
Tremendously more, to the point like last season, and the show's been out a week and I've watched 10 of the episodes, as opposed to where it took me 3 or 4 months to watch them all. Mm-hmm. And that's only because I forced myself through the last 6 because Defenders was coming out.
Right.
And yeah, Iron Fist is in this. I didn't even recognize him at first. The actor looks a bit different. I think he's put a little weight, his hair's shorter. But yeah, he's like you were just saying, describing him. I didn't think of it, but yeah, it's right. He is like that. So.
Cool.
But you know, like I said, we've seen Iron Fist, we've seen Froggy. We've seen, well, Claire was in the first several episodes, few episodes, so, and then, you know, Misty's in it, of course, and Mariah. So, we're seeing some bleed over, which is cool. I always enjoy that. Yeah. But, I'm really enjoying it this season.
I'll probably check that and Glow out next week so that I have more shows to.
What I found was really funny is, I didn't realize this, but the first episode of this season, Lucy Liu directed it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Kristen Ritter's going to make her directorial debut on one of the episodes of season 3 of Jessica Jones.
Oh.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad, like, they've made the changes so I can enjoy it more, but I'm sure there's people out there that aren't enjoying it.
Right.
Because of the changes. Or don't like it as much, you know. But I definitely think it's a lot better.
Cool.
Anyways.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I watched 4th episode of Cloak and Dagger.
How's that treating you?
Phenomenal.
I probably should watch it.
This show, just, it's so enjoyable to watch. And the way that they do the episodes, everything, is, like, I can't wait to watch this most recent episode.
Yeah.
My sister was talking about it. She's like, oh, wait till you see this. And, like, every article online is, you know, all these headlines are like, oh, they threw a lot at us in the 5th episode. I'm like, oh. So, but I wanted to hold off. But basically, we watch 3 different things happen. We have Tandy and Tyrone together in a church talking for the first time. You know, really, they've met up before, but like she stole his wallet and it was like here and there. But the most recent episode had ended with him, you know, or the one before that had ended with him accidentally shooting at her. So now they're in the church and they're like, let's talk about this. And they really delve into who they are and what their abilities are with each other. And it's so cool because these are 2 characters, kind of like the Guardians of the Galaxy originally,
yep,
that have no business being on the screen whatsoever. Like, they are such obscure characters from, like, the 60s and 70s. They have no business being on the screen, but yet they've made them into really super compelling characters. So we've got those 2 sitting in the church talking about everything that's going on and who they are and what their powers are, trying to figure it out because they don't have mentors and they don't have somebody who says like, oh, well, I've been through this. So they're just trying to figure out like what's going on with each other. Then interspersed with that, you've got a story. She basically, they tell each other, you know, hey, I saw a vision of you and everything that you were doing was wrong and it ended badly. So you need to try something different. So like he tells her to stop running away because she always runs away from her problems every time. She tells him, instead of going after this cop and trying to shoot him and kill him, why don't you learn about him, find his weaknesses, and make him pay that way? So then we get to see, like, he does this whole thing where he basically fakes his bike being stolen. He takes his dad's bolt cutters, he cuts his own chain, he takes the bike downtown, he throws it off an overpass, then he goes to the police station to report his bike stolen so that he can get in the back and get this guy's file, start learning about him, etc. She, on the other hand, goes home, and this guy that her mom's been dating, this lawyer, instead of treating him like a piece of shit like she usually does, she's like, nope, you know what, I'm going to make an effort. And it turns out really well. Their powers are the complete opposite of each other.
Yeah.
Like, they get into it in this one where when she touches somebody, she can see their hope. She can see all the hope that they have in their life. Like, she touches the guy that's dating her mom, and she sees this vision of him cooking dinner for them, taking them away on vacations, you know, just generally a life as a family.
Yep.
Like, that's his hope. And she's like, wow. Tyrone, on the other hand, when he touches somebody, he sees their deepest, darkest fears. He sees what makes them scared out of their mind. Like, he touched his mom and saw himself getting killed. Like, that's her deepest fear, because she's already lost one son. Okay. Now she's afraid this one's going to join the ranks, and it's phenomenal. It really is. I really enjoy this show, and I highly recommend it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I did watch another show you highly recommended.
Oh?
I may have mentioned it last week. I don't know.
You mentioned it briefly, I think.
I watched Happy Endings.
How much of Happy Endings did you watch?
Well, okay, so I halted after two episodes because I want to sit down and watch it with my wife to see if she likes it, because then we'll watch it together. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't want to watch it, I don't know what else I'm going to watch until I'm done watching this. No, I might have watched four episodes. Sorry. Four
episodes. And you watched them in the correct order.
I did, actually. It made so much sense to watch them in the correct order. Okay, the end of the first episode, is that the one with her birthday? Yes, because so much happens in the first episode. Uh-huh. She leaves him at the altar, and then we fast forward some time frame, and then they're going to their friend's 26th birthday, but it's her 30th birthday.
Right. And they all go silly.
Oh, my God. Like, sincerely, I watched it at work, actually, and I'm sitting there laughing out loud, like, legit.
One of my favorite lines from that episode was when he opens the door to his apartment and she's standing there with the cornrows in her hair. And he goes, Alex? She goes, hi. And he goes, that's what you're going with? And shut the door in her face.
It's
just so blunt. Just, that's what you're going to go with?
Yeah. But man, I laughed and laughed. And then the episode where they're going to go beat up. Because this guy shows up to stop the wedding. Mm-hmm. And he's on rollerblades.
Yep.
And Alex runs off with him. So you think that, oh, they went off together. Well, they didn't.
Right.
She just left with him, but then she went on this honeymoon by herself and left him. She didn't want to be with him either. And so, but they thought they did. So he's going to go over and beat him up. And then when they get there, and it's him and is it his gay friend?
I thought
His other friend.
Mother or grandma. Oh, yeah. He was there with his gay friend. Yeah,
but it was him and his gay friend. They show up to go beat this guy
Max
up.
Max and Dave show
living
up.
Living with his grandmother or something. Yeah.
And he's a complete loser. He's like living on the couch.
And they find out that he never actually went with her. And he used to love his life. Yeah. So then they're talking it out together and they're kind of broing up over it. And they just out of nowhere, Max. I just comes right in. And then the guy goes down and then he comes up and he's like, I'm going to karate your asses. And then there's like a big comical fight scene. And then later on, you see them and they both had their asses kicked.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, I definitely want to try to watch this with my wife to see if she likes. I think this is something she would like, kind of like when we watched How I Met Your Mother together, so we can watch together, like a half-hour show every night. But
there are three seasons. Oh, the first season, I think, is like 10 episodes, and then the next two are like 23 each. So they went full bore.
So is it canceled?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
So.
I think it was like 2012 to 2014 or 15.
Okay, I don't know. It's hilarious.
I freaking loved it. I burned through the rest of the episodes this week. I went all the way through the end of season three. Dude, there is so much in that show that makes me laugh and makes me just love the show. So they were shot out of order.
Yeah.
And
they aired out of order.
They aired out of order on purpose. And I didn't want to get too into it because I wanted you to see the first episode.
Yeah.
But basically, the network said, we don't want to depress people because we think that if you really air it like this and you're just focusing on their relationship breaking up,
that's what it's about.
It's going to depress people. So why don't you show some of the funnier episodes first? So that's why they jumped right into
that's stupid.
Like you basically get her leaving him at the altar and then you're jumping into episode like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Which is like everything's all cleared up and for the most part.
It was hilarious.
And the characters are just great. Every one of them. And they get bigger. They really play up like Penny.
Yeah.
She never changes. She stays on that track. They all do. They're all the same person throughout the episodes, just they get Alex gets dumber. Like she literally gets dumber and dumber and they comment on it. They're like, how do you not know that? How are you walking around not knowing
this guy's someone just like that? Somehow they just seem to be getting dumber and dumber as time goes on.
Yeah.
They get older and they get dumber. It's like the opposite of how it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, you're supposed to gain intelligence.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
I did.
Okay, good.
I did. It's so hot, John.
I know.
It's so hot.
I hear you.
Ugh.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I look forward to being able to reminisce about more episodes. That's one of those shows for me that I could just throw it on, like Scrubs or something, and just watch like two or three episodes in the background and laugh my ass off while I'm doing something else.
I'm very excited to report. Because you're saying that reminds me of what I wanted to say.
Okay.
But all, I don't know if it's 11 or 12 seasons of MASH is on Hulu.
Nice.
I love that show.
Just MASH, not After MASH.
No, After MASH was garbage.
It was garbage.
I love that show. I've seen so many episodes of MASH, but I don't think I've seen all of them.
Yep.
So I'm gonna watch them.
Thanks.
I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to watch them all.
That'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
It's a great show. To me, MASH is almost like Scrubs is a modern day version of MASH. Because MASH was a hospital show, but in the war, in a mobile hospital unit. And you had comedy episodes, you had dramatic episodes, you had great characters that stuck together when they needed to and hated each other when, when they needed to or whatever. And
crotchety old man running the place.
Exactly, yeah. So it was great. I really enjoyed the show. Whenever the repeats were on, I could watch it. Something my dad used to watch as well, so that helps. But
yep.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited when I saw that I think it's 11 seasons is on Hulu. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, my only note under Happy Endings, because I watched the whole rest of it,
yeah.
I just wrote Happy Endings is amazing.
It is. That's a fact. It's a fact, Jack.
Wait till you get more into it. The later the seasons go, the better the show gets, honestly.
Nice.
Stake me home tonight.
I watched some documentaries.
Oh, yeah?
Did you have any shows, more shows to talk about?
Yep.
Oh, you know what I started to watch, and then my app messed up and I couldn't watch? Preacher.
it's much better.
Is it better?
This season, yeah. We're back to Jesse's roots. He's gone home to Angelville, to the place that he ran away from, that he hated. The con artist family and the mother who... Well, we get to see a flashback of... when he was a child, and it's pretty brutal.
Okay.
His mother basically like takes a picture of him and swallows it so that his grandmother can't see it because she doesn't want her to know about it. So two guys hold her down and the grandmother cuts her stomach open to get the picture out of it.
Okay, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then she looks at it and the woman's like, no, leave my Jesse alone. She's like, mm-mm. So, and this was the grandmother that abused him, that he hated. So now he's gone back to her because he wants to bring Tulip back to life.
See, Tulip's still stove up, huh?
Yep. We get a really comical fight between Jesse and, oh my God, what's his name? The vampire.
Oh, I know you're talking about.
Yeah, we get a really comical fight because the camera is positioned right behind Tulip's corpse while she's just laying there motionless on a table, and it's facing out, and then you watch the two of them, but it's a steady camera, so it's just...
How did she die again?
She was shot by the Saint of Killer. No.
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and, crap, why can't I think of his name? Anyway, Dennis? No, Dennis was the kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, the vampire wanted to bite her and bring her back as one of
yes,
them.
Yes, that's right.
And Jesse kicked the crap out of him and said, no, I know what we can do. And so he's taking her. And turns out she's in purgatory. And we get to see purgatory, which is basically kind of like when we see hell, except purgatory has a studio audience. You don't see the studio audience, but you hear them.
Wait, hold on. They have a laugh track on part of the show?
Oh, yes. But a whole studio audience, so like the, ooh.
I'm pretty sure this is genius.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Trust me. It's good.
I'm pretty sure that's genius right
I'm
there.
Really liking the way that this season is being set up much more than last season with Dennis and, the Saint of Killers kind of being dumbed down. And,
right.
Yeah. So definitely check it out.
No, Dennis wasn't the little kid. Dennis was the old man.
Right. Right. He was the son of the vampire.
Oh, I guess technically a kid.
Yes. So yeah, that, I think for shows other than Westworld, that was all that I watched. Reverie, Cloak and Dagger, Happy End. Oh, I will also say that I have been binging Voltron, the Netflix one.
Oh, how is it?
Still solid.
Nice.
Like, I watched the first season, which was 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And then, like I said last week, I was shocked to read that they were like, in the 6th season, we learned. I'm like, where did that come from? Well, sure enough, there's 6 seasons. Second season, I just got through, which is like 13 episodes. So they went from 6 to 13. Now I'm in the 3rd season. Lothar has just been introduced.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool. And he's a much better character than he was in the cartoons.
Okay.
Because, see, in this version, you learn pretty quickly that Zarkon was the original Black Lion's paladin.
Okay.
And that's why he is so obsessed with Voltron and he wants the lions back.
Okay, that does make sense.
Yeah, so he has a tie to the Black Lion, He uses it to his advantage. Now, Lothor's back in the picture, and nobody from the Galra Empire likes Lothor because he's kind of a rebel. Like, they're all, like, pure blood Galra, and, you know, and he brings on miscreants, and he doesn't conquer worlds. He goes down and flexes his muscle and then says, rule yourselves, but you're under our banner. You know, fight with us, and we'll provide support. He says that way they like you instead of fearing you. So the Galra don't agree with it, but he gets results. It's really good. We've started delving into alternate realities, what the Lions are made of, what makes them so unique, what makes Voltron so unique. Some of the characters are real assholes, and I'm getting kind of sick of their attitude. But honestly, I recommend it. It's a half an hour show, and it's just getting more and more solid. I'm in the third season and really enjoying it.
Nice.
So, two thumbs up.
Nice. I watched a documentary on HBO, the wife and I did. Actually, we watched it last week and I forgot to bring it up. The Final Year is an HBO original documentary. It's about the film. I'm just going to reiterate here. The film is a chronicle of Barack Obama's administration's foreign policy team and the events in Obama's final year in the office. And so it focuses on Samantha Power, Ben Rhodes, John Kerry. And it was really, really interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the first, you know, they catch you up from before you got elected the first time to where we are now rather quickly.
Okay.
And it just kind of goes through this final year. And
it is called The Final Year.
So. Right. And it's actually really, really interesting, and it makes you think about a lot of things. And
Which bent were they taking on it? Are they taking the he's a bad guy or he's a good guy?
You know, honestly, Obama was not even a focus on it. I mean, it's weird. It's about his the foreign policy teams. It's about them and what they're doing and working with other countries and everything else like that. They all three of them, well, Ben Rhodes especially and Smith Power especially, they are not Donald Trump fans. And so as you're watching this, as it progresses, the primaries are progressing, and you can see the election night, and watching their reaction on election night when Donald Trump is elected president is, especially Ben Rhodes, is hilarious. He was legitimately speechless. Like, he sat outside and he's like, I just have to come outside, and he just kept repeating
Wow.
And he just I don't know. Like, it was amazing. Like, it was weird seeing somebody who is right in the thick of things, dealing with foreign policy, dealing with these other countries, trying to establish things and set things up, like with Korea or in Afghanistan or with the Russians or on and on and on. Seeing all these people that are right in the thick of this. And to them, like to us, it's like, or to, I say us, to people like who weren't fans of Donald Trump when he was elected, to us was like, oh, son of a bitch, he's going to ruin the country. But to like them, They have a different perspective of it. They have he's going to ruin the country, but they're seeing it deeper than we can because they're in the thick of things.
And him coming in threatens what they've done for work.
And that's the other thing, too. And when they're dealing with, like, everything's like, people, like, they're dealing with all the foreign, you know, dignitaries, everything like that. It's all, well, do you know if the new administration's also going to go with this? And they're like, well, if Hillary's elected, yeah, we can say for sure. But if Donald Trump's elected, which I don't think is going to happen, then I have no idea.
Right.
So it was actually really, really interesting. And I hate politics.
That was going to be my follow-up question. Yeah. How the hell did you find yourself watching this? Because you hate politics.
Kate wanted to watch it, and I thought it was going to be about Obama and, like, his life the final year. Because the final
year. He's not dead.
Well, a presidency, what I mean? And I thought, well, that could be interesting to see what, you know. But instead it was his, you know, like, he's in it, but not much. It was just way more interesting than I thought it was going to be. And it's a political documentary, but it's not political. I can say it that way.
Okay.
But yeah, it was great. I recommend it. It's on HBO. I give it a big recommend.
Interesting.
Yeah. I watched another documentary. Well, funny thing, my 3-year-old got his hands on my phone.
Bought you some Amazon Prime.
Bought me some Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So I watched Pez Heads.
Okay.
It's a documentary about Pez collecting people.
Oh, okay.
Came out a few years ago. Not very good.
No?
Nah, I wouldn't bother.
Okay.
Even if you're a big old fan of Pez, I wouldn't bother.
That's too bad.
Yeah. On the other hand, I watched Nintendo Quest.
Oh, yeah, you had mentioned that one.
Have you seen this yet?
I have not seen
it. Oh, my God. It is fantastic.
Is it?
Okay, so it's about this guy. And, of course, when you read about it, you think, oh, okay, this is kind of random. But it's not really. It's about this guy, and his friend bets him that he can't buy all, I think it's 674 or 678 original Nintendo cartridge games for the original Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Okay.
So it kind of starts
No foreign imports.
North American releases.
Okay.
So no foreign imports. He's not allowed to use the internet to buy them.
Does the list, and maybe you're going to get to this, but does the list include specialty ones, like the ones that they only made five of where it was the golden thing and you got it as an award and it had like 10,000?
There's one game that wasn't included, and it was the when they did the Nintendo award games, like in 1990, they did that.
Yep.
That was the one game that was not included in the list.
Because it's stupid rare. It's like impossible to get your hands on because they only made a limited number for the people to play. Well, this
one guy he met has two.
And he goes, I'm not surprised.
He goes, you have two of those, huh? Kind of greedy, don't you think?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A hilarious lie.
Exactly.
But there was the one game that, gosh, I wish I would have made better notes. When I watched it, I was just so enthralled.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one game, it was, it's like a track and field game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was initially released, and then, and when it was initially released, Nintendo said, no, we want that for the power pad gimmick.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it was actually re-released with the power pad as its game system that came with it. Kind of like you got Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt when you bought the Nintendo, you got this game when you bought this, except there was a few that were released under the original title with the original packaging and all that stuff. And that's like the number one rare game. So basically what it is, this just guy, they live in Canada, and they had their own Nintendo club when they were kids. And I think it's still in existence for them. And so he's kind of like, it's not like he's not a well-known person in the Nintendo world, you know, like, I wish I could describe it in a way like everyone could understand, but like, for instance, I collect wrestling trading cards so I can get them signed. Mm-hmm. And over the years of buying them, I've met people along the way that also collect wrestling trading cards that they like to get signed. So like, I could name four people right now that I talk to on a regular basis. We compare cards, talk about new cards coming out, what did you get signed, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So this guy also is in the same type of thing. So he's in a circle, and that's kind of like well known in video gaming for being, you know, like having this Nintendo club in Canada and everything. So anyways, they're not allowed to use the internet to buy anything. And he has an app on his iPad so he can keep track of the games he's bought.
Okay.
Because there's 674 of them.
Right.
And he literally has 30 days to do it. And it's just really fascinating because they start out in his native Canada. They go on two big road trips during the documentary where they come down into the United States to all these different gaming stores or go to flea markets or whatever it is to buy the games. And also along the way, they meet private sellers that have the games.
Now, I'm assuming they use the internet to find these people. They just can't order stuff off
the internet? He's not allowed to buy anything off the internet. So he put, they put it out there, like, probably on their message boards, hey, we're doing this. And people are like, hey, well, if you want to come look at my collection, you can. But he can't, like, you know, like...
Have it shipped to him, or...
Right, exactly, yeah.
He's got to do it in person,
right.
Old-fashioned
the one, there was this, that one particular game, that really rare Nintendo game, and I'm trying to find the damn name of it now because I want to say it. Anyways, he did almost make a deal over the phone for that one, but like he had a friend that was going to pick it up for him because the guy was in Florida, and his friend's the one that gave him the contact. And so he almost did that, and I guess that would be acceptable because of what the game is and how rare the game is.
What was the bet? Like, what were
it
the
was,
stakes?
It, there was, you know, honestly, there was no stakes other than...
Challenge accepted?
Challenge accepted, yeah. You know, like, can you do this? And it was really fascinating to watch. It was really cool kind of watching these guys go around and buy these games. And, you know, like, I'm not saying... I mean, I love Nintendo. But, like, they'd show you the games. Like, oh, this is a game. They bought this, bought this, bought. There are so many of them. Like, I never even thought was a Nintendo game or never even knew was a Nintendo game.
Yeah. There were a lot that just got pushed out. Kind of like Atari. Remember when you used to see the Atari games and say, like, Air Raid? And then in the tagline at the top, it would say 720 games on one cartridge.
Yeah.
And all it was because, like, if you hit the button, then the screen turned blue, and then you hit the button again, and it was red. And they considered each one of those a different game.
Oh, okay. Stadium Events is the name of the game.
Okay.
Bandai put it out, and it was, again, it was a family fitness game. It was called Stadium Events, and...
It's back when Bandai was just Bandai and not Namco Bandai.
Right, exactly. And the North American version was rebranded by Nintendo shortly after and was re-released as World Class Track and Meet with the Power Pad.
Gotcha.
But anyway, so Stadium Events was the big one that they couldn't find, and I'm not going to tell you if he gets it or not.
Okay. Now, did they hire a documentary crew to film this, or was this like on GoPros and shit?
Well, okay, no. See, that's kind of the thing. The guy that filmed it, Rob McCallum or whatever, apparently he's made documentary films in the past. So this is something that he's done in the past. Because this, like, the Pez head one looked like someone shot it, and I don't even know if they had GoPros. I mean, it didn't look like, maybe it was a VHS-C recorder.
Oh, nice.
But you know what I mean? So it looked like, it looked like someone home filmed it.
Okay.
This looks like professionally done, and it looks good. And it's just kind of cool, and they got great graphics, and they got the little animated maps, and on and on and on. But, like, you got to watch it just to see this guy's collection he has alone in, like, his basement. It's crazy.
There's some great memories there. There's some great NES games.
Yeah.
There were a whole lot of shit NES.
I never knew there was 678 games. Yeah. I had no idea.
And some of them were just, a lot of them were just garbage, let's be honest. And not like, you know, the latest Transformers is garbage. But, like, they just pushed something out the door, and they were like, hey, let's license this and put it on Nintendo. Terrible stuff.
And along the way, they also kind of give you a history lesson on Nintendo, which is kind of cool.
How they started off as a trading card company?
Exactly, yeah, and then developed to what they became, then the first Nintendo came out and everything. And
amazing, isn't it?
And, well, it actually even talks about how, like when it first came out, it, like, wasn't popular, and people didn't, like, that's why there's no, the word arcade game is nowhere in the name. In the description, it's the Nintendo Entertainment System. They made it look like a VCR.
Yep.
As opposed to what it looked like before. So I never thought of that, but it's like, oh, okay. Because for whatever reason, it arcade game didn't attract, like, your casual players.
Mm.
Or the casual thing they wanted. So by revamping the shape of it, the look of it, and changing the name, and on and on and on, like, it sold like hotcakes. So, but anywho, it was fantastic. I loved it. Loved it. There's been so many great video game documentaries, like this one, King of the Kong, Fistful of Quarters, Man vs. Snake.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did they talk about how Nintendo at one point decided that they wanted to develop a disc drive, a CD drive, so that they could play games on discs?
Nope.
Yep. It's about the time the N64 came out. They were like, we want to do this. Let's go and talk to Sony. And Sony said, okay, we can do this. And they put together a prototype, and they were like, nah, that's garbage. So Sony went, well, we're going to go to market with it. And that's where we got the PlayStation.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and now look at the market.
Huh.
So, oops, Nintendo.
Well, they caught up, apparently.
Kind
of. Is Nintendo like the Apple?
Kind of, yeah. Like, right now, the Nintendo Switch is a great console, but it's a great console to play old games on. And everything that they come out with is like Mario Tennis, Mario Party, Mario Kart, Mario All-Stars, Legend of Zelda.
So PlayStation and Xbox, they're your Windows operating system based computers, and Nintendo is your Apple.
Yep.
Your Macintosh.
From back in the day, yes. Because nowadays, if you look at it, you know, everybody does have Windows operating systems, but the MacBooks blow away most.
Right.
Windows laptops. But yeah, that's basically what it is. Everybody has an Xbox or a PlayStation because that's where all the stuff's coming out, you know?
I have a Wii, and today, Addison and I played Wii Bowling, Wii Baseball, and Wii Golf.
Wow.
That's the extent of my gaming. I like going to the arcade and playing pinball and playing video games there.
Yep.
But, I fell out of it.
Yeah. You fell out of it into wrestling. I stayed in it.
Right. But I love watching these documentaries on the stuff I played.
Yeah.
You know. There's an Atari documentary on Amazon Prime I want to watch here. It's
not the one about the E.T., is it?
No, but I already watched that one, and I like that one.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
It's a different one, I think. Let's see here. Did you watch any movies?
I watched one new movie and two reruns.
All right.
So I'll just touch on the reruns real quick. I rewatched Kingsman Golden Circle.
That's great.
Because it was on HBO. And every time I turn on my Fire TV stick, because I have Stars.
Yep.
Because of Ash vs. Evil Dead. That,
right, you know, right.
At some point, might want to sit down and watch the third season.
We do need to watch that, yeah.
But anyway, it always says popular movies on Stars, and there's Spider-Man Homecoming. And I'm like, you know, I haven't seen that since it was in theaters. So I sat down and watched it again.
Nice.
Great movie.
Yeah, it would just debut tonight on HBO, and I'm like, gonna be watching that this week.
Don't forget, it debuted tonight as well.
That's what you said.
Oh, you said it just debuted, and I thought you were talking about Spider-Man.
No, no, it debuted tonight on HBO.
Who's on first? Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it again. But I watched one new movie. Not proud to say that I watched it, but it was on Netflix's front page. It was like, check this out. And then I saw an article that said, oh, they're already producing a sequel because it's a runaway hit. And I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. It's called Set It Up.
It's in my queue. My wife wants to watch it.
It's not bad. It's, I mean, Lucy Liu's great no matter what. Taye Diggs is also great.
Yep.
Their assistants... It's interesting watching it. It's not a typical romance story.
Yeah.
It does have a lot of the hallmarks of a typical rom-com, but, you know, they're assistants, and these people run them like dogs and run them into the ground and treat them like shit. Right in the beginning of the movie, you get a montage of different people, like, trying to fulfill the wishes of their overlords. So, yeah, it's, if you like a rom-com.
It's meh.
Yeah.
I watched a new movie.
Yeah.
I was excited to watch this movie.
Okay.
Let me set it up.
Okay.
You watched, remember the movie The Strangers?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a great flick.
Yeah.
Was it Liv Tyler and, was it one of the Wilsons? I don't know. But basically these two people are in their home or in a hotel, whatever it is, vacation home, and they're being terrorized by these three masked people. And it's great psychological suspense. Like, it's cool. And then and the movie ends very brutally.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit. You know, and the three masked people, they don't say a word. And that's what makes
which
it
is really
creepier.
Cool.
Yeah. And, like...
Oh, so you watched the sequel, didn't you?
When, yeah. And when Liv Tyler's like, why did you do this? One of them just said, because you were home. And it's like, that's up, you know? And then they just brutally stabbed them. So I heard they're making a sequel finally, and I was super excited to watch this.
Did you pay money for it?
I rented it at the Redbox, so I did spend $1.50. $1.50 too much.
It didn't opt for the extension plan where you kept it out a couple extra days to rewatch it?
Nope. Didn't, can't say I did. Can't say I did.
What's the title of this one now?
The Strangers Prey at Night. P-R-E-Y, get it?
Oh, clever.
And
play
what made the first one so awesome is these people were trapped in the house, and yet they made it suspenseful and cool and just interesting and cool. This one, they're in a trailer park or like a mobile, like a mobile home campground, let's just say. But they also have trailers for rent, like a house trailer, but it's a smaller version of one. And it's the off season, and these people's uncle and aunt own it, and they get there late at night. So it's not—they're not trapped in a house. They're trapped in a
trailer
park, with nobody else there. And yeah, it's not good.
No,
if this was the first one, I would have been like, "Wow, they never need to make another one of these." Whereas when I watched the first one, I was like, wow, this was awesome. And then I heard they're making it, and I was like, oh, that's sweet. And this is disappointing. It wasn't good. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't good. It, I think I saw Rotten Tomatoes was 37% after. Ooh. And, I mean, I'm just going to ruin it, everybody. So you hear them talk. You hear a couple of them actually talk this time.
Oh.
Quite a bit, which is stupid.
Breaks the mystique.
All three of them get killed.
Oh.
Yep.
So instead of being predators, they were the prey?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, and it was just like, everything that worked in the first one doesn't work in the second. It doesn't work when, like, you know, someone's running outside, and then none of it worked. It just wasn't very good. There was other parts I was like, that wouldn't happen that way. You know, like, I just, there was too much with it that I didn't like. There was too much with it that I thought was garbage. And then when you have the three killers get killed kind of easily by teenagers, yeah, I just, I didn't care for it. I didn't care for it at all.
I will avoid it.
Yeah, don't. I can't explain this enough to people. Don't watch it. Just don't watch it. This is how crappy it was. The teenage bad girl that's in it, because basically what it is this family, it's a mother, husband and wife, mother-daughter, and daughter and son. And he's a senior in high school, or going to be. She's, I don't know, in high school herself. But apparently she did something, her and her friends did something so horrendous that they're sending her off to boarding school.
Yeah.
But they never actually tell us what they did. Other than like, it's you stupid teenagers doing stupid stuff, Mom. Why are you acting this way? You think what you did was stupid? What'd you do? Oh, you're not going to tell us. Great.
That's just lazy writing.
Pretty much. And then, like, her character is supposed to be a badass, tough girl who smokes. But she does that thing where she takes a big drag, and then, like, as soon as the cigarette comes out of her mouth, the smoke just kind of pops out, and she's not actually inhaling anything. So it's like, unless, like, you know, she's clearly not actually smoking that,
right.
So it just makes it look stupider.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. It was dumb. It was stupid dumb.
Excellent. I wasn't going to watch it anyway, but now I'm really not going to watch it.
I'm definitely going. See here. You got any trailers you want to chat about?
Yep. I wrote down some, and I don't care about all of them.
Okay.
One of them I shared with you, Mandy.
Yeah, with Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that. I watched that trailer. It's a little over 2 minutes long.
Yep.
I got done. I went, I have no idea what I just saw.
Nope.
But I can't wait to watch the full movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it is going to be catastrophically bad, but I can't wait to see Nicolas Cage being full-on Nicolas Cage. Like, he's finally reached that point in his career where he's like, fuck it, they make fun of me on the internet for being crazy. I'm just going to be full-tilt fucking crazy.
I think it's about time, really.
Chainsaw fight where he has a regular chainsaw and the other guy has one that's like 6 feet long.
Yeah.
That's straight out of a fucking video game
right
there.
That's straight out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, so, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, this definitely looked weird.
It looks like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 kind of movie.
Yeah. I saw a trailer for the new Netflix series by Matt Groening called Disenchantment.
I did as well.
And I'm just going to read the synopsis because the series follows the story of Bean, an alcoholic princess, her companion elf Elfo, and her personal demon Lucy, who live in a medieval kingdom known as Dreamland. I don't know. This looked amazing.
Yes.
The
trailer says, you've seen the future in Futurama. You've seen the present in The Simpsons.
Yeah.
What's left? Let's go to the past. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think it's great. Abby Jacobson is Princess Bean.
Yeah.
She's from, not You're the Worst, but Broad City. I don't know. Billy West is in it, so that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of a who's who of Futurama.
Yes.
You got Billy West, and you got, oh my god, why can't I? Bender, basically.
Yep. You also have the narrator from Futurama is going to be in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. John DiMaggio. Yeah. John DiMaggio. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bender. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. That comes out in August on Netflix, which will be
I'm
great.
I'm excited. Yeah. 10 episodes.
It can probably be a little bit raunchier than it ever was on Fox.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's going to be very raunchy. August 17th, that comes out. I watched a trailer. Actually, I saw two trailers before on the beginning of the DVD for Strangers.
Okay.
Grant Knight. So, and I found both of these to be interesting. One's called Gringo.
Okay. Sounds familiar.
Well, there was one with Mel Brooks called, not Mel Brooks, Mel Gibbs called Get the Gringo last year before. Whereas this one follows a mild-mannered businessman who's sent to Mexico to deliver experimental marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
When he's kidnapped by the drug cartel and he must escape alongside a hired mercenary.
And it's got Charlize Theron in it.
Charlize Theron in it, yes. Joel Edgerton, Amanda Seyfried,
yeah.
Charlie Copley, Charlton Copley, whatever, a bunch of others.
Looks kind
of
funny.
It does look fun. It does look fun, yeah. It looks pretty interesting. The other trailer I saw was for a movie called Thoroughbreds.
Okay.
Did you see this trailer?
No.
It's hyped as Heathers meets American Psycho.
I'm sold already.
Yeah. It follows a high school student and her emotionless friend as they scheme to kill one of their stepfathers via a contract with a drug dealer. who I believe is Anton Yelkin, so it might be his last role before he died.
Jesus, that would have to be a very old one, because he died a long time ago.
Yeah, Anton Yelkin's in it.
This has been sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Well, okay, so it actually debuted in 2017 at the FanFest and released March 9th in like theaters, I guess, and it's coming out soon. I mean, he died in 2016, so it could have been filmed in 2016 before he died. Could have been, two years ago.
Yep.
I'm looking it up now. But anyways, yeah, it looks great. Apparently, does it's got 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. And 76 out of 100 on Metacritic. I watched this trailer and I just went, it was almost kind of like the Nick Cage, like, I don't know what I just saw, but I can't wait to watch this. It was just like,
what was it called?
It's called Thoroughbreds. Okay. Yeah.
I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it looks really great. It looks really, really good. And it's like these, both of these girls, there's these two girls that somehow meet up. I don't know how. It looks like some sort of maybe court order type thing. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's like they're sociopaths. And they're just real calm about things. And it looks great. It looks really, 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 really good. Yeah, it's Olivia Cooke and Anna Taylor-Joy. Oh. Two people in it. And
I like Olivia Cooke.
Anna Taylor-Joy apparently was in Split.
Oh, okay.
Olivia Cooke was in Bates Motel, The Quiet Ones, 2014, The Signal, anyway, so she was in a bunch of stuff as well. But yeah, you gotta go check the trailer out. It looks really good. I was surprised how good it looks.
Speaking of Split, we got a nice poster this week.
That's a badass poster.
Isn't that a badass poster?
Yes, I meant to comment back to you about that.
The poster for Glass came out.
Yeah.
And I love it because it's a reflection poster.
Yes.
You see all three of them sitting in chairs at the top part of it, but you only see like up to, not even the neck, like maybe up to the nipple area. Mm-hmm. And they're all just sitting there like, you know, Glass is sitting in his wheelchair. And
Split is sitting in his chair.
With what does he look like? He looks like he's got, I saved it. Yeah, it almost looks like he's just got like a normal t-shirt on. And then you've got Bruce Willis's character sitting there locked up in shackles.
Yeah.
And then down below you've got their reflections, which show, you know, Mr. Glass in his full suit standing up.
Yeah.
You've got Bruce Willis in the raincoat.
Yeah, with the hooded raincoat.
And Split with his fucking jacked physique.
Yeah, when he's all, how you see him at the end of the movie.
Yep. And the tagline is, you cannot contain what you are.
Yeah, that just looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm
surprised. Like, I gotta watch Split again.
Yep.
But like, I really can't emphasize how my disappointment I've been over the years at M. Night Shyamalan until Split.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Sixth Sense was awesome. I really liked Unbreakable, and then everything after that just plummeted downhill. Yeah. And then Split came, and he was right back up to that level. And when they had that little PS at the end with Bruce Willis, it was like, oh, that's really cool. And then when they, you know, announced the movie, it was like,
yeah,
now I'm excited.
And I still remember being on this podcast and telling you that you needed to watch Split. And Martin said that you needed to watch Split. And you were like, fuck you guys, you're wrong. It's going to be garbage. And I was like, no, I hate M. Night Shyamalan too. And you were like, I'm going to watch this out of spite just to prove to you guys that you're wrong.
Yeah.
And then you messaged me and you were like, God damn it, that was great.
Yeah, that was great. It really was. I couldn't get over how good. He was amazing in that movie.
Yeah. It was great movie.
It was absolutely amazing. Like, you could see him, like, near the end, when he's being multiple of his characters at once or whatever, but, like, you can see him transitioning from one to the other so fluidly with different, like, just the way he carried his body, his facial expressions, how he talked. I mean, just, like, that was so amazing.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Awesome.
I saw a trailer for a movie this week.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a TV series coming out.
Okay.
Have you ever seen the movie What We Do in the Shadows?
I feel like I have, yes.
It's a mockumentary about vampires. And it has some very recognizable British actors in it. Man, I'm blanking on names tonight.
That's okay. Jermaine Clement.
Taika Waititi is the one who did Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
The director of Thor Ragnarok. Okay. So they did this mockumentary called What We Do in the Shadows, where these vampires lived together in a house, and they had a documentary filmmaker who was walking around with them, and they were talking about day-to-day life and what they went through and stuff. It's a riot, but it's like British humor kind of stuff. Well, they said that they were going to have a spin-off TV show of this, and I've been watching for a while thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Maybe it follows one of the vampires. Maybe it follows, you know, the whole house with other people moving in. Nope. It's called Wellington Paranormal. And it's two bit characters from the movie, the cops who were investigating some of the recent killings. It's a show about them and how they investigate the paranormal. And it's going to be a riot. Same kind of dry British humor. You know, he's sitting there at one point, he goes, yeah, we've got all these rare and weird occurrences that go on. I made a folder for them. And he's got like this one folder and he's like, see, it's kind of thick. Yeah. And it's just so, like, dumb,
nice,
blunt. Like, it's going to be great. I'm very much looking forward to it. I didn't realize this was the direction they were going in, but I'm excited. Wellington Paranormal. If you haven't seen What We Do in the Shadows, check it out.
It's great, yeah.
It's funny. They talk about the hazards of going to the beach and such. Yeah, you should really check it out. And then get ready for Wellington Paranormal.
Well, I guess to talk about movies adapted to a TV show, did you see that Child's Play is getting a TV series?
Seriously?
Seriously.
On what network?
Chucky is getting a TV series. I don't know.
I stopped watching after, I think, the second movie. First movie freaked me out.
The second from last one was really, really good.
Yeah?
And then the
is that the one where they brought back the original babysitter girl?
Yes and no. Andy's in the most recent one, again.
The same actor?
Yeah, as an adult.
Creepy.
Yeah, but the second to the most recent one, I watched the whole thing through. It was excellent.
Seed of Chucky or Bride of Chucky?
No, it was Curse of Chucky maybe or something. Okay. And then the most recent one, I had trouble with.
Yeah.
I've watched it twice now, and I've fallen asleep both times, which doesn't inspire me to want to try to watch it a third time.
Understand.
But, yeah, they're doing a Chucky TV series, Child's Play TV series.
Again, it's going to depend on the network. Because what I loved about the first Child's Play was that it was brutal.
Oh, it was.
Like, it was really creepy. That was about the same time that the Puppet Master movie came out with those puppets that could kill you. And
it was around the same time that my buddy came out.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, and Brad Dourif, you know, getting a glimpse of him before... Yep. Sending his soul into the body of a doll. I mean, that was some creepy shit. And then even the second one, like watching the opening scene where they're remaking him, like they melted him down and remade him into a new doll. I'm like, that's really cool.
That seemed like a bad idea.
And then after that, I just couldn't bring myself to watch any more of them.
Oh, the one where he, scene of Chucky, where like the doll impregnates and they have a kid.
All I know is I heard about Bride of Chucky and I was like, nope, can't do it. And I think there was one, like, what, military school or something?
That was part three.
Okay, yeah. See, I didn't even watch that one.
That one wasn't as bad, but
because the second one was kind of close, you know? It was the same neighborhood, I believe. But,
yeah.
But anyway, I don't want to see it.
Chucky. They did Child's Play, Child's Play 2, Child's Play 3, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, and then those recent ones, Cult of Chucky.
Let it go. Let it go. Now they're going to make a TV series. I'm not sold at all. Not even a little.
Yeah.
No, my wallet's still in my pocket.
Yep. That's where it's going to stay when it comes to that. I guess that's it for me.
I've got a couple of news things.
Okay.
Tom Welling. I'm really doing bad on names tonight. I don't know what's going on.
Me.
Yeah. Anyway, the Spider-Man.
Sure.
He's got this history of blurting things out, spoiling things.
Yes, he does, yeah.
And they put Benedict Cumberbatch on duty to keep him from while Avengers was doing its press tour. But now they've kind of made it into a joke. So, like, he did a quick video the other day because he was backstage at a Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I'm getting ready to go out on stage. Just finished reading the script for the next Spider-Man movie. I'm really excited. And he put it down. But, of course, it was Spider-Man Far From Home. So he leaked the title. Those are big air quotes.
Yeah.
he leaked the title out there, but they've now confirmed that it will take place in Europe. I believe in France, actually. He's going over to Europe, and which would be a good spot for Mysterio.
Yep.
I can get into that. DC Universe is going to have a streaming service.
Yeah, I heard about that. Is it going to be for live-action stuff or comics or both?
Yes.
Or?
Yep. It's going to have cartoons,
yep.
live-action. I'm assuming they're going to throw some of their movies on there, but they've already announced like some of their shows, like Young Justice is going to be on there,
yeah.
the new episodes, the Teen Titans show, and comics. I don't know how keen I am on this.
Did they say how much? What's the price point?
I didn't see anything about a price point yet. I can't imagine spending like $10 a month or $15 a month
no.
to see their original show. I mean, I really want to see Cobra Kai,
yeah.
but I can't pay $10
a month. I can't bring myself to spend $10 a month to watch.
Did you hear that they're getting Sensei Kreese in season 2?
You're getting what?
Sensei Kreese.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he's coming back.
That's awesome.
And they said that he's going to have a different arc because, you know, they're like, Johnny may have been the one that tried to cripple Daniel.
Yeah.
But his sensei is the one who gave the order. So he's going to be back.
Sweep the leg, yeah. But sensei. I said, sweep the leg. You got a problem with that?
No sensei.
Yeah, Johnny. Put him in a body bag. Yeah.
So,
man, that first Karate Kid was fantastic, wasn't it?
God damn, it was. Even the second one,
yeah.
to an extent,
right.
was really good.
Yeah.
But I started noticing the whininess of Daniel at that point.
Yep.
And then the third one, and the next Karate Kid. So, yeah, I'm not sure about the DC Universe streaming. I don't know if they have enough stuff that they can actually justify a monthly fee. Unless they're also going to run all their other syndicated shows that belong on other networks, like Teen Titans Go, any of the, like, the Arrowverse stuff. But that isn't really, like, I don't know if they have enough rights to those two.
The only thing, unless they got the rights, unless they've been showing up the rights to all their old DC titles and stuff, well, like all the old Justice League cartoons.
That are all on Hulu right now.
Batman the Animated Series or all those things like that. Maybe like the
Batman the Animated Series will be on there.
That was on Fox. I loved that. That was so good.
It really was great.
You know what that
That's
was
where
awesome.
We got Harley Quinn?
You know what was also great? Yes, we did. That, Gargoyles. That cartoon was so good.
Talk about a great voice cast.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Yeah. It was just a good cartoon to begin with.
It really was. It really was. Got a little long in the tooth towards the end, but
yep.
man, that was a great series.
Anywho.
Ghosted was canceled.
Yeah, no surprise.
Timeless was canceled.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. They're already shopping it around, though.
I hope someone picks that. Like Netflix. Netflix picked up Lucifer. They got to pick up Timeless.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Either Hulu or Netflix has to be there to pick
Someone's got to pick Timeless.
Because Hulu's already got it on there.
Yeah.
So
Timeless is just too good of a show.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, we're talking about the DC streaming service. I mean, like, what was it? Remember Yahoo tried to do that? And they had the
Community.
Yeah, they had the final season of Community was on there, and I got the Yahoo app just so I could watch it,
yep.
and then after that I deleted it.
Yep.
But it was free,
right?
You know, same thing with the CBS All Access. I love Star Trek. Mm-hmm. I would like to see this new series. I can't bring myself to spend $10 a month or $7 bucks a month just to watch that one show.
That's why I like Netflix and Hulu because they have such a mix of things.
Yeah,
I already get Amazon Prime for shipping and everything else,
right.
so I enjoy that, but. You know, I can't keep adding on more monthly fees for something that I'm just going to watch one show.
It's like right now, I don't have cable. I have an antenna. I have Netflix. I have Hulu. I have WWE Network. Okay? And then
you have Amazon Prime.
I have Amazon Prime for a month. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, I can't justify having Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and WWE Network and CBS All Access, because by the time I get done nickel and diming myself to death, then I might as well have cable.
Right.
And with a VCR, with a VCR.
DVR.
DVR and on demand and everything else, you know what I mean? Like, by the time I get done nickel and diming myself, it's like, yeah, it's not worth it.
The Disney Fox deal is much closer to being done.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because as you know, they... Comcast backed up a truck full of cash and said, hey, here's cash. And
yeah.
so Disney turned around and said, hey,
here's more cash.
Yeah. And the thing that was holding it up, and you'd probably care about this way more than I would, but the courts had it tied up because Disney already owns ESPN.
Yes.
And then they would have had Fox's NFL network.
Right.
And they were like, no, that's too much sports for one company. Mm-hmm. So they made an agreement. They said, fine, we'll buy it, but we will immediately spin off Fox Sports to somebody else. Somebody else will buy it.
Yeah.
We won't keep it. And the judge said, oh, okay, then I'm all set. So now it's past the Supreme Court. So now the it can be signed into.
That's good.
Yeah.
Just one step closer to getting that Marvel Universe combined.
That's what I really want.
So also, I don't know how deep we want to go into this, but Lucasfilm says there'd be no more standalone movies because Solo did so bad and
yeah.
on and on.
Yeah, they're reevaluating everything.
But they have more trilogies that are coming
yep.
out. So don't worry, we'll still have more movies, but did you really think, and I know we differed in our opinion,
yep.
but did you really think Solo was that bad that they need to kibosh those movies?
No. No, I think that what I said from the beginning
yeah.
was true. We had somebody who we already knew who he was.
Right.
And that was part of the downfall of this, was they were like, well, here's what got him to that point. Not really. But now they're talking about Boba Fett, who we don't know who he is. We know
right.
that through Lucas's shitty prequels, he's a clone.
Right.
And we know that he appeared for like 10 minutes collective screen time between Empire and Jedi.
Yeah.
I would love to know more about this guy. I would love to see more adventures of his. I would love to know, you know, what he's done to make him such a badass. Or maybe show us a movie after he gets out of the Sarlacc. Do the extended universe thing.
Oh, Last Jedi is already on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's pretty cool. But yeah.
They were talking an Obi-Wan movie that's young Obi-Wan. I don't know that we need that.
I don't think we need that.
No. We saw him when Anakin was
yeah,
8 years old or 9 years
exactly,
old. And then
yeah.
we saw him when he was like horny 18-year-old.
Right.
So we've seen Obi-Wan, and we've seen
what he
goes
into. Yeah, we don't. We definitely don't need an Obi-Wan movie.
Nope,
he was covered in four movies, basically.
Yeah. Do what works. Rogue One.
Rogue One was so amazing.
You introduced us to characters we never knew, and we never knew that we wanted to know, but now we love them.
Yep.
Holy crap!
And on the Han Solo movie, we already knew three of the characters. Like, and I will admit, like, we knew three of the characters already, and like.
Technically, we knew four because there's that scene where, you know, C-3PO is plugged into the Millennium Falcon.
Oh,
goes,
yeah, yeah.
Where's your computer get its, you know, it's got an interesting dialect to it. So,
right.
we technically knew that fourth
Fair
droid.
Enough. But all I can think of is Billy Dee Williams. Like, Lando Calrissian.
Yep.
Like, do you think a solo movie of him would be better?
They've talked about that, but I definitely think that would be way better.
Yeah.
Whether it's how he got Bespin or... I guess the young version of him. I'd see more Donald Glover.
I would like to see more Donald Glover. As
watching Spider-Man Homecoming today, you know, seeing Donald Glover as Prowler before he's Prowler, you know, and he's just like so chill about everything. And he's like he gets the webbing shot on his hand on the car and he's just like, man, what happened to your voice? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, your voice. I know a girl's voice. He goes, I'm not a girl. I'm a boy. I'm a man. So I was like, yeah, right. Like, he's just so chill about the whole thing.
You know, I didn't think there was anything wrong with the Amazing Spider-Man movies myself.
The second one I had huge issues with.
The first one.
The first one?
I
liked it.
I liked a lot. The second one, okay. But, I don't know. I'm not complaining because I absolutely love what they've done with him now.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's Spider-Man.
Yes.
You know.
And they were able to fold him into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic
yes.
Universe.
But,
dude, speaking of Marvel Cinematic
sure.
Universe, have you seen the picture that's going around right now of, you know how they've got the Jeffrey Giraffe holding his suitcase in the empty Toys R Us?
Yes.
You know, and it's like, that's it, it's finally over. Now somebody has photoshopped it so the half of him is turning into dust and it says, I don't feel so good. Oh, it's terrible.
That's awesome.
Yep. Let me think. Oh, and the only other news that I really had that doesn't tie into the last show we're going to talk about is Jared Leto is apparently going to be Morbius in another standalone Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, first off, Morbius is not that great of a character.
No, no.
I don't think he can carry his own movie. Secondly, Jared Leto, dude, you're already the worst Joker in the world. Now you're going to be Morbius?
Do you think... anybody could have played Joker after Heath Ledger?
No.
I think that's the problem. I think it's too soon still.
Because
he was so amazing.
Yep.
How long has it been? Like 10, 8 years?
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
It's definitely been a long time.
But I think, like, before that, Jack Nicholson, everyone was like, oh my God, he's such a good Joker, he's such a good Joker. But I think that then they could turn around and say that Heath Ledger was an amazing Joker because Jack Nicholson was still alive,
right?
For starters. And secondly, Heath Ledger's Joker was a much better psychotic version.
20-something years later, too. Yeah.
And then you've got Jared Leto's Joker, who's like the gangster, pimp, high roller.
Gold teeth.
Tattoos. That weird tattoo on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like him at all.
And it was just... I realize they are going with a completely different approach to Joker.
A bad one.
Clearly a bad one.
Kind of like Suicide Squad was a completely different approach to movies, you know?
To a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, Batman vs. Superman was a completely different approach to a good superhero team-up movie.
That's right.
Of two awesome characters.
Martha!
God, that's been spoofed so much lately.
Deadpool.
Yes, yeah.
I was fighting this guy with a cape. Turns out his mother's name was Martha too. No. Oh.
Deadpool 2 was space sort of. Yes.
Aqua Martha. Anyways, yeah. So.
Talk about Westworld?
Let's talk about Westworld.
We're talking about the last two episodes. We're going to wrap it up.
Final two episodes. Because the season's over.
I watched episode 9 and went, holy crap, that was so good. I got to watch episode 10. So let's start with 9.
I took zero notes.
Oh, that's fine.
Because I watched it last night and then today. I watched 9 last night and 10 today.
Okay. So, I don't know. What'd you think? As a whole, let's start with this. This season as a whole, what did you think?
I still feel that this season was weak compared to the first season.
Agreed.
Apparently, the numbers show that as well. They were 30% down in their ratings from season 1. That's huge.
Now, do you think this season got better as it went?
Yes.
You think it finished well?
Giggity. Yes.
Was it a satisfying season finale, or was there too many twists?
There were too many twists. There were definitely too many twists. It was satisfying to a point, but yeah. For me, there were too many, but wait, there's more kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so...
So... They kind of blended together for me. So episode 9.
That's fine. I mean, I got notes up here in front of me, and I got the Wikipedia, you know, right up here in front of me for it. So episode 9 is Emily is treating William's wounds and basically trying to say, Dad, we need to leave here.
We get a lot of his flashback, whereas before that we got the Atachakas.
We get a lot of his, exactly, about his wife... And Emily's mother committing suicide and why it happened and everything. And basically she killed herself after watching a file that detailed all of William's actions in Westworld, what he's done in the past.
Yeah.
The violence, the atrocities, raping.
Because this was a big episode where they basically announced to us that the reason that we saw old man Delos being rebuilt and rebuilt and rebuilt was because they wanted the host to be more real, and so they decided, oh, rather than building them from scratch, we want to monitor and basically read the mind of everybody who comes here, every regular human.
If they're wearing a hat, there's a thing in the hat that monitors their minds so they can download all their memories, if you will.
Yep. So we had the cradle, which we thought was the big thing because that held all the hosts, but then below the cradle is the forge,
which holds all the our guest data.
And employees and everybody's. Basically, most of the population that we know of, it was alluded to. Yeah. You know, everybody's been here at some point.
Right. So I'll just say this real quick. We do find out that... Well, I'll wait a minute.
Okay.
Right, keep going.
Well, no. So basically, Ford gave William... It looks like a credit card, kind of, with circuit designs on it.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Mike had to sneeze.
I did.
So he gave William this black card with circuits on it and basically said, this is your profile.
Yeah.
This is what we've gotten from you.
Right.
And William took it home and kind of tucked it in a book. And
his wife kind of... And then he sat on the bed and confessed to his wife.
Yep. Basically said that he has a darkness in him.
Yep.
He doesn't want to get rid of it, that it's who he is.
But he loves her.
Yeah, he discovered it a while ago, and they showed the flashbacks of young William turning into old William. And
Which that still was great cinematography, that camera work, when he takes up the black hat for the first time and puts it on, and then when he lifts his head back up, he's old William now.
Yep.
And it's huge. Just like, I knew it was the same guy.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. But anyways, yeah, so she gets up, finds the card, plugs it in, it's like into the computer, and starts to watch her husband being like a horrible person.
Yep.
And then, but that's why she kills herself?
I thought that when she was doing that, she was actually uploading it to them so that they, I mean, I know that Ford gave him a copy of it, but it seemed more like an espionage kind of thing. Like she was copying the info so that he could have a host made up of him type of thing. I didn't understand why she killed herself though.
I didn't get that. I just got that she watched him.
Okay.
And she killed herself. And then, you know, as Emily's trying to talk some sense into her dad, and he's still like, I mean, basically, I guess from what we can ascertain from the moment his wife killed himself, he starts to kind of lose his mind.
Yep.
And that's when he starts this quest in the first season, I'm assuming,
yep,
of trying to find the center, trying to figure out Ford's game. And
because Ford even kind of alludes to it after he gives him the profile and William walks away, Ford kind of like, he's like, maybe one more game for you.
Yeah. And at the point, and then now his wife's killed himself, and now he's at the point where, like, anyone that talks to him is a host.
Yep.
And it's all being Ford's the one that's pushing them, and it's all happening.
And she had already told him that she fired off the flare to alert people to come get him because he was injured.
Yes.
So he knows that they're coming, but he forgets about it.
They show up.
Yep.
And like, you know,
the little P90s.
Yeah, well, you know, one of them's like, hey, that's the boss.
Yeah.
You okay? And then it's like, that's my father. He's gone insane. Da, da, da. Is that true, sir? Have you gone insane? And he kills them all.
Yeah.
And then his daughter's just like, no, I'm telling you the truth. And he shoots her right in the chest.
Yeah, right dead just, square in the chest.
She's dead before she hits the ground.
Yep.
And he's like, nice try, Ford, but no one would know. But she would have no way to know about that.
No one would know about my profile because I never told anybody about it.
Exactly. And then she sees that she has the card in her hand.
Because he was going to go carve into her arm to find the port.
Yes.
That all the hosts have.
And he sees the card in her hand. And
that's when we get the full story.
And then we get the full story, yeah. So, I mean, that was, that was awesome. That was so well done. Like, I'm being loud, I guess, but, like, the relationship between them, the conversations between them were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Very emotional and everything. And then when he kills her, and then he realizes that she is not a host, that it was his daughter. He just murdered his daughter.
Like, doesn't seem to faze him.
Well, he goes off, and you think he's going to kill himself.
Because he does hold the gun to his head.
But then he stops, and he starts cutting into his arm.
Yep. Because he wants to see if he's a host.
Because, he's starting to think, maybe I'm a host.
Yeah.
And also, the only other story we really get in there is, I guess it's the only story we get.
Because, don't forget, too, when those two guys show up with the little P90s there, they have the scanner that they can check and see if you're a human or a host.
And they scan them.
They scan the back of his neck.
It said clear.
It said clear.
Yeah. And before they could scan her, before the guy announced that he was scanning her, like, he killed them all.
Right.
Yeah. Also, was it Charlotte, which we all hate her.
Yeah.
They use Maeve's code to reprogram Clementine.
Yes.
And allowing her basically just kind of walk up to people, have the host turn on each other and start killing each other.
Yeah. She basically becomes like a plague bearer. She's a walking virus factor.
Yeah, basically.
She has to get within pretty close proximity to them, but they have that whole room of them just laying there on the ground, like, stunned. And she walks up, puts her hand on the glass.
Yeah.
And you just watch them start lighting up on the pad, like going from yellow to red.
Yeah.
And then they just start kicking the crap out of each other.
Yep. Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Also, Bernard is with Elsie.
Yep.
And Ford continues to goad Bernard into killing her. So he deletes Ford from his programming.
Yep.
He deletes Ford from his mind, and then he leaves her because he's like, I'm a danger to you.
Yep.
And he continues to go alone to go to the Forge.
Yep.
And that's where the facility houses all the guest data in the Valley Beyond.
Yes. Not the hosts, but the guests.
Yeah. And then also we get Maeve on the table again. And Ford gives her a message for her.
Yeah, because he told Bernard to get close enough to her because he had to deliver a final message.
And he's like, you're close enough, you don't need to talk to her.
Yeah.
And he delivers this message to Maeve, which basically, you know, helps her escape.
He tells her, you know, you were my favorite, you were as close as I ever had to having a real child. And, you know, I loved you, and I always wanted more for you. But yeah, basically he just pumps her up and helps her escape.
Yep.
So when the guy comes in to start cutting into her.
Oh, yeah. No. Like
she summons like three others.
She turns off the pain.
Yep.
So because he's sick, he's like, I want you to feel this pain even though you're a thing. And then like she says something Maeve-ish to him. Like, you know, like you're the one that's going to feel the pain, darling, or something like that. And she turned the host, they just killed each other because of Clementine. She turns them on. And then
they come in.
And again, I don't know which episode we're in, but it happens. Also, in episode 9, we get Dolores and Teddy. And Teddy gives her a big speech about how, I know where we're going, and I know what you're doing, and I can't support you.
So it looks like he's going to shoot her.
Instead, yeah, because he said, I always told you that I would, as long as I was alive, I'd never let anything happen to you.
Yep. Well, I can't protect you.
I can't protect you anymore. And then he shoots himself in the head.
Yep.
That was kind of badass.
Yep.
So, great episode.
And she takes it in stride. She seems a little upset at first, but she carves his head open and takes his core out.
Yep. Yep, she does. Fast forward, if you will, to the next episode. And Maeve is... Okay, so you have... I can't think of everyone's names, but you have the blonde-haired snake girl.
Armistice.
Her Asian counterpart.
Yep.
You have the Spaniard.
Yep.
That Mexican guy that loves her. You have the two doctors, the Asian doctor and the white guy,
who
still with them somehow.
Yeah. Still seem reluctantly,
And they're going to rescue Maeve. Mm-hmm. And as they're approaching and everything like that, oh, and then they find the Dr. Lee or whatever his name is, the British guy that wrote all the stories.
Yes.
And he is like, I tried to stop them. This is not what I wanted to happen. I wanted to save her. I wanted to help her because she's, to her, initially it was she's fascinating, but now it's like he's even kind of drunk the Kool-Aid of Maeve.
Yeah.
Like those other two guys.
The cult of Maeve.
Yeah. And so they're going to rescue her. And we have this amazing, badass scene where you have all these soldiers, if you will, the security with weapons, and you think, oh, we're going to have a big shoot-up between the two of them. Before that can happen, a fucking stampede comes through. And what was so cool, it was partially finished.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't even, like, some of these cattle or steers weren't completely done.
Right.
But they're still running through, and they just stampede right through and end up taking out all the soldiers. And there's this awesome scene of Maeve walking down the middle, and she's kind of wrapped herself in a blanket and everything.
Yep. Because she's still pretty gouged up.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, oh, that's the other thing. After those hosts that wake up and kill the doctor, they kill that guy, they turn her pain receptors off, and then they start demending her.
Yes.
But, like, I just love that she goes, like, well, I was trying to save you. I got tired of waiting around for you to save me, so I decided to save myself or whatever.
Yep.
You know? And it was awesome. It was awesome.
So basically, at this point, everyone is making their way towards their final destination.
Right.
Some of them have blatantly said, this is where I'm going. Most of them, they're pretty, you know, shady about. They're not trying to say specifically where they're going. Yep. You know, they're all talking about going to the new world. You know, the Ghost Nation is like, where is this door? We're going to a new world.
Right.
Atachaka, where are we going? You know, we came all this way. I don't see a door. He's like, no, it's a door for them, not for us. You got Maeve's group that's like, we're going on to the next world.
Yeah.
You've got Dolores who says that she's going to put an end to this.
All these things are coming to a head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then we start getting into more of the split timeline thing.
And it's confusing. Like, to me now, it's confusing how long this played out.
Yes.
Because it seems like both of these stories happened over a great period of time, but now I'm feeling like this whole story was, what, a few days, probably?
Probably. Because, one of the things that is... Okay, so Dolores meets up with William.
Yes.
That doesn't end well.
Well, she doesn't kill him.
No.
She finds him carving into his arm, and she's like, You got to come with me. I need your help.
Yeah. And then she meets up with Bernard.
Yeah.
And then shortly thereafter, like, they head down towards the forge, and then we see, I keep wanting to call her Tessa, because it's Tessa Thompson is the actress, but the boss lady there, that
Charlotte.
Charlotte, we see her walking into the forge, and Dolores' dead body is laying on the floor.
Yeah, when they walk in, yeah, you see Dolores' dead body.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to, basically, they're in the forge, and Dolores is going to... All right, so she reads some of the guest data.
Yep.
Okay. And she opens the door.
Yes.
Which is for everybody.
Ford had created this thing for the hosts so that they could escape. And it was supposed to be a place where their minds, their cradle version of themselves could exist.
Yes.
With all of their memories.
Yes.
With all of their knowledge. Really beautiful scene when they walk through the door.
Yes. It's really
And you cool. see the body just like go tumbling down off a cliff, and at the same time they keep walking.
Yes. And Bernard and what it is Dolores is basically like they're just going from one trap one fake reality to another fake reality.
Yeah.
So no, like, I can't let this happen. Yeah. Basically, Dolores wants to get to the real world and destroy all of mankind.
Yes.
That's what she wants
to do. She's mad, and she wants her kind to take over for mankind.
Exactly. She wants to destroy all of mankind because she's read enough of the guest data to know that humans are pieces of shit and they need to be stopped.
Yeah. She's like, we're not the broken ones. You all
are. So she wants to close the door.
Yeah.
And that's when Bernard shoots her because he's like, I can't let you do that.
Right.
I can't let you close that door because...
They have to have some kind of hope.
Exactly.
They have to have something.
And even if this is not what you think is ideal, they'll be free in their minds.
Right.
Because you know what? Maybe like when one of the hosts runs through that door, back in Westworld, they rebuild that host and that host is still living as that person, if you will. But there's a part of that host's mind that's now free forever in this new world.
Yep.
And you're right. It's really cool because they run up this hill and they go through this door, which is like... It's like the world's like split universes open type of thing. And humans can't see it.
Right.
Because those two guys that's with Maeve and everybody, they're like, wait a second, I can't see what you're talking about.
Right.
But so yeah, as they run through, their bodies are falling down this cliff, but they're ending up in this field.
Yep.
So that's why Bernard shoots Dolores so she can't close the door so he can leave the door open. And Bernard then
now remember in earlier episodes, we saw the valley that was flooded and all the host bodies laying in it. And they were like, it looks like they just walked off a cliff.
Yeah. And
is that another shot out of order thing?
Well, and that most certainly is because
they flooded the forge.
Bernard, they flooded the forge, so it flooded that valley. And Bernard, remember the earlier, he says, oh, I killed them all.
Yep.
I did this.
Yep. Them.
Well, that's what he did. He let them run through that door.
Yep.
And then
Charlotte is standing out there with him. She's like, what have you done? And they can, they're standing there in the desert and watching water pool up around their feet. She's like, we're not going to be able to get out of here unless we leave right now. This place is going to be flooded.
Because they're flooding.
So then earlier in the episodes when we saw all the bodies laying in the lake, that's why. Because they went on to the other place.
So this is where it can get confusing because we're kind of cutting back and forth.
Oh, yeah. And the show was cutting back and forth.
Oh, it's called The Sublime.
So that was the other place?
Yeah, that's the other place.
And so, again, I'm kind of on Dolores' side here.
Yes.
You know, it's one prison for another.
But they don't know they're going to be in another prison. They think they're going to be in a free world that's their own to do what they want and have all their memories, and no one's going to kill them over and over again. And,
I mean, I guess good on them.
Yeah.
But.
So, okay.
Now it gets bonkers.
This is where it kind of does get bonkers. Trying to read this right. Okay, so
William's now missing a hand.
Oh yeah, well because he went to shoot his gun and it blew his hand off.
Yeah, because he basically was shooting at Dolores and she was like, don't you understand? We were built to survive. We were built to keep living.
Right.
We are going to outlive all of you.
Yeah, and then she rigged his gun so that when he pulled the trigger, it fired back in his hand. And
all she had to do was put her finger up in the barrel, and it would have been a perfect Bugs Bunny moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just fired and it blew his hand right off.
So Maeve and her group, as they're trying to get to this door themselves, they run into some soldiers, and the British programmer sacrifices himself.
Because the Spaniard tries to do it, and he goes, no, I'll do it.
I wrote my speech anyway. So if you remember back to the first season when they ride into town and kill a bunch of people and everything like that, he cuts this big promo or speech. So he does the speech, and the soldier's like, "Sir, stop! We don't want to do this." Right. And he keeps saying it and shooting at them, and then finally they shoot him.
Yeah.
And it gives them enough time for Maeve and her group to get away.
Right.
And then when they get to when the doors open, at the same time Charlotte and company gets there, and they unleash Clementine. And as Clementine's riding up through, the hosts are turning on each other.
Charlotte has a great line. She goes, "This is what I love about technology.
Yeah.
Who needs four horsemen when you can just have one?"
Yeah.
And yeah, Clementine just like blindly, like a zombie, is riding a horse and riding through the trail of people who are heading up there. And they're all just kind of watching her. But as she passes them, they get infected and they start turning on each other. And the ones at the front of the line are like, "Oh shit,
we got to get out of here." And they start running.
Yep.
And then Maeve's group, basically, they all sacrifice themselves. The snake girl, her Asian counterpart, and the Spaniard fella. They all just start shooting the soldiers, shooting the people that turned on each other. Snake Girl kills Clementine.
Yep.
But
a lot.
But
like, she keeps shooting her and shooting
her. But she's still affecting the people even though she's down.
Because she's laying there and they're all like looking at her, and then they start infecting each other.
And then, and it's so fucking heartbreaking, kind of.
It really is.
Because Maeve gets to her daughter and says, "Go.
Yep.
Take her. You need to go." And they all continue to run through, and Maeve's daughter gets through, and it's like, yes. And then Maeve just puts her hand up and summons all her powers that she has, and she stops them all.
Yep.
All the other hosts freeze, basically, so people can get through. The last one to get through was Akasheta.
Atachaka.
Atachaka. And he gets shot in the back right before he stepped through. And then when he steps through, you see him grabbing his back, and he's healed up.
Yep.
He's not been shot. Yep. And then Maeve gets shot, and it unleashes, and the door closes somehow. I don't know.
Because soldiers were basically coming.
Yes.
And the soldiers, she can't control.
No.
So she had stopped all the hosts, but...
Do you think she closed the door?
I think that the door was being closed by...
Bernard,
when he flooded the forge.
So that's right after all that happens. The door closes, and then that's when Charlotte's like, "We got to get out of here. It's flooding."
Yep.
And they flee.
Yep.
And they take off.
Meanwhile, we see Bernard kind of acting odd, like staggering around, and he kind of like slumps over, and you're like, wait. Now, there was also a scene there where, like... Okay, so before we see the flooding happen... We see some of the guards walking around, and they're, like, putting down hosts that are twitching and stuff, which was from earlier in the season.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, I remember seeing this, like, in episode one.
They're walking through, and just...
So this all happened in episode one, but so it's, again, that skewed timeline. And Bernard kind of, like, staggers and falls down on the ground, just kind of slumps over there, and... He's still got some stuff going on upstairs that we're not quite sure about. William is also trying to make his way into the forge, and he's loading up his gun with only one hand and doing a pretty piss-poor job of it. Now we start getting into the twist.
This is where it gets kind of confusing, because it's a storyline-wise, but I'm just going to say what happens. We see Bernard with Elsie, and it seems like this is after all what's happened at the place.
Right.
And Elsie's with Bernard, and she's like, "I don't know what we're going to do, Bernard. I don't know what I'm going to say about you to them." And he's like, "What do you mean?" And she's like, "She saw motor function."
Yeah.
She makes him sit down. She's basically like, "You're a host. There's something wrong with you, though.
And you've got too much of Ford's code in you. How would you ever know that you were doing what you wanted versus what
right.
he wants you?"
Exactly. But I will try to talk to them. I will try and keep you safe. Because even though he's a host... So she makes him freeze, and he's sitting there watching, like, the map room or wherever it is.
Yep.
So Elsie goes down to talk to Charlotte. And Charlotte's like, "Oh, you're going to play ball?" And Elsie's like, "Well, if you give me what I want." And then Charlotte's like, "You know, I read your profile. You're never going to go along with what we need to do." And kills her.
Yeah, shoots her right in the chest.
And Bernard sees it. And that's when Bernard realizes what he did was wrong.
Yep.
Then there's a point where we find out, if you go back to the beginning of this season, you see Bernard and Dolores, like at the beginning, like maybe in the first episode, you see them talking to each other. And it's those times when Bernard's always talking to Dolores. And it might even be from the first season. And it's where you think, like, he's like, "So, Dolores, how did it go today? You know, where are you? I'm in a dream." And on and on and on. And what actually happened was that's Dolores, if I'm reading this, it says Dolores kills Strand and Barnard while transferring the host minds into Sublime to a safer location. She then escapes back to the mainland where she rebuilds Barnard.
Yeah, because all these...
Oh, in this season... Sorry, hold on. I'm reading this now. Now it makes more sense.
Yeah. Because what we've been seeing in this season is instead of Barnard talking to Dolores and saying, you know, where are you? What are you doing? It's Dolores talking to Barnard and saying, you're almost perfect.
Yeah.
I've almost gotten you to where I want you. And he's like, what are you talking about, Dolores?
And then she says, reset, you know, seesaw motor functions, reset, trial number, like 80,000, whatever it is. It's a huge number.
Yeah.
And basically what this is that, okay, so after Barnard sees Charlotte kill Elsie,
he invokes Ford.
He can't get Ford to come back. Well, he does, but it's not the real programming.
Right.
It's just... It's
he realizes afterwards that he deleted it, and so he was just seeing what he wanted to see. But basically, he has a little conversation with Ford. Ford's like, we need to fix this. We need to do something. And he's like, help me, Ford. And Ford goes, I've already started.
So he makes...
So this happened early on.
Yes, this all happens early on because he makes a... Everything we saw with Elsie in this season, even though it was intertwined, took place early. Then all the stuff happened at the Forge with everyone going through the Sublime.
Yep.
And then we get to the to Barnard here where he basically goes, okay, I know what I need to do. He does a bunch of stuff I'll talk about in a minute. Then he scrambles his own memory and he lays down on the beach.
Yeah, and he tells them that. He's like, I purposely scrambled my memories because I knew that you'd bring me to this point. Because basically they know that he has the info. He has the info on all the hosts and all the guests.
So we don't have two Barnards. We have one Barnard all season long.
Yes.
It's just you have the injured Barnard kind of early, and then he gets better, and then everything happens, and then Elsie sees Elsie die, then he does the stuff he does, then he scrambles his own memory, then he lays down on the beach, and then they find him, and now this Barnard's with them, and this is where he's all screwed up in the brain.
Because he scrambled his memories on purpose, hiding from them what he did.
Right, which is what he did was he made it a new host.
Yes.
He made a host that looks like Charlotte.
Yes.
And implanted it with Dolores.
Yes.
Because he cut Dolores out.
When he killed her. He took her core and he put it into a Charlotte clone that then killed Charlotte, and the rest of this time has been masquerading as Charlotte.
But Barnard doesn't remember that. Until now, we come full circle, if you will. Now we're back in the Forge, and we see Dolores' dead body and everything else, and they're trying to figure out what they did, and they didn't upload the guest data. They uploaded the host
data. They wanted to upload the host data because that's all that they cared about at the time.
Right.
And then they're like, wait a minute, this file's too big. It was like 32 exobytes.
Right.
It was huge. And they're like, what is this? We just wanted the host data.
And what was the file?
It was all the guest data as well.
Yeah.
It was everything.
And did it get... What happened to it? I can't remember.
Basically, they were like...
They didn't succeed in what they wanted to do ultimately.
No, they were just trying to upload... They were trying to get a satellite uplink so they could upload the host data so they could... basically salvage what they could from the park and then restart it somewhere else with host data that was already there. You know, it's like computer programs.
But I don't think they could. It failed. No.
It failed because Barnard had fucked things up. And they were basically like, show us how to fix it. And then when he did show them how to fix it against his will, they were like, okay, now we can start the upload. Wait a minute. And it was all the guest data as well because that's what Dolores had wanted.
Right.
She wanted all the data on everything.
And this is when Barnard tells this story. And that's when they do the big reveal that Charlotte's actually...
He goes, I did something. And they're like, what did you do? And he goes, I did something that I couldn't tell you about. I couldn't let you know. And they're like, what did you do?
Yeah.
He's like, I made something. And they're like, what did you make? I couldn't leave her behind. Who?
And I thought it was going to be Elsie he remade after watching her be murdered by Charlotte, but it was...
Yeah. And then Charlotte just goes, it was me, and kicks the crap out of everybody, shoots them all.
Yeah.
Like, just marks them.
Yeah.
I mean, bam, 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 bam. Kills them all. And then starts talking as Dolores. And she's basically like, you know, I suppose I should thank you for bringing me back, but I wouldn't have had to if you hadn't shot me in the first place.
And that's when she kills Barnard.
Yeah.
She shoots him.
Yep.
And then what we're seeing now with her talking to him and is when we're back on the mainland at that house. Remember, we see the house earlier where he showed her where he lived?
Yep.
This is the house I'm kind of building for my family, or this is where I stay when I'm not at the park, blah, blah, blah. And, like, first, apparently Charlotte, or Dolores as Charlotte, rebuilt herself. Mm-hmm. So you have Dolores, and now Charlotte's a host, but is it Dolores in her still? We don't know.
Right.
We just know she's there.
Oh, and
don't Dolores forget, has her body back.
They also, Bernard sealed off the Sublime.
Yes.
So that nobody else could get in there and take the host's info.
Right.
But Dolores took a, as Charlotte.
Yes.
Took her purse off the island with a fistful of maybe a half dozen cores.
Right. That's right.
I know Teddy's going to be one of them, probably Maeve.
Oh, that was the other thing. The security guard guy.
Yes.
As he's talking to Charlotte. And he's like, you know.
As they're scanning her to see if she's a host or a human.
Well, as they're scanning people to go through, and they haven't scanned her yet.
Right.
And she's reaching in her bag like she's going to grab a gun or something. And
she had a gun, yeah.
Yeah, and he's talking to her, and he's just like, you know, Ford hired me so long ago, I can't remember when it was. But I do remember one thing, what my prime job is, and my job is here to protect the host, whether here on the island. Whether here in the park.
And I feel responsible for protecting every single host.
And he turns and goes, she's clear.
Yeah.
Let her on.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, is he a host himself, or does he know that she's a host?
He just knows.
See, part of me thinks that maybe he's a host and does it and knows it, but no one else does. Kind of like Bernard, but Bernard didn't know it. So anyways, we see Dolores rebuild Bernard.
Yeah.
As he was. And that's why we see the 80,000 simulations that she did.
And that's why she keeps saying, you know, I've almost got you to the person that I remember. But and she was talking about how, like, it was the whole thing about host data versus guest data and how they thought that they had to gather the info from humans to make them more realistic. But it turns out that the flaws of humans are a weakness.
Yeah.
And that's why they shouldn't be using the human data except for to learn how to kill them.
Right.
And
that was the other thing, too, is, like, Bernard's like, I still can't allow you to do any of this. And she's like, I know. That's why I built you.
Yeah.
Basically, she needed to build the yin to her yang.
Yes.
If you will.
Yep.
And she's like, so yeah, you're going to try to stop me. That's what you're here for.
Yep.
But I'm going to destroy humanity. And then her and Charlotte, clone, host, whatever, they leave together.
Yep.
Wow.
And then he comes upstairs and kind of looks around and he sees like a prototype of the spindle that creates hosts, and that's probably what they used.
Yeah.
And he looks around the house and he sees the picture on the desk of him and his son. And,
right.
You know, he walks over and opens the door, and that's how it ends. Well, that's how that part of it ends.
Because don't we get the credits and then we get something after the credits, which good thing I just sat there and stuck around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because something happened earlier in the show because we see after Bernard and Dolores go down into the forge, and then,
like I said, William was trying to get down.
He comes back. Then you see William go down in.
And he's loading up his gun like he's going to kill these people.
And when the door opens, because you think, okay, it almost feels like Bernard and Dolores and William are getting there at the same time as Charlotte and everybody until you see Dolores dead on the floor. Then it's like, well, what the frick?
Yeah.
But then William goes in, and then the doors open, and it's other people coming out. It's not him. So what happened to him? Well, it says here in a flash forward, William enters the forge to find it abandoned, except for Emily.
Yep.
We don't know if it's host Emily or real Emily, and that was host Emily. But incidentally, he tests him for fidelity, revealing that his consciousness has been implanted in a host body.
Yep. Yeah. So he's a host.
Yeah.
And the way she was talking to him was the same way that they were talking to old man Delos when they were testing him.
Yes. And they even brought him not just into the forge, but like they brought him into one of those apartments even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His apartment.
Yeah.
Remember also, this whole thing was explained to us by Logan. And Dolores was like, why is Logan here?
Oh, yeah,
Logan never re-entered the park after that day. And he's well.
Oh, and when Bernard and her went into the Sublime World or whatever,
Yep. There were a lot of twists.
Were there too many?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
They should have spread some of those out into earlier in the season. I get what they were doing with the time jumping around. I don't know that I appreciate it as much as I could have.
Yep. I would really like to see a layout, someone do a time, like an in-order timeline of events that happened.
Yeah.
How
much time had passed?
Yeah.
Like, was this a couple of days?
I think it'd be cool if someone did something like that. But yeah, you know, the ratings did go down.
30%. That's a lot.
It is.
I mean, if that's 10 million people watching, then only 7 million watch this year.
Did it get renewed for another season?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I thought
But it won't be out for like 2 more years, I think.
It sucks.
Like 2020.
Oh, one big thing we forgot. Okay? Because when they're doing like the cleanup and everything like that, after the flooding, or maybe before, no, it was after the flooding and everything, they're doing the cleanup. And some girl says to, hey, start going through these hoses and see if there's any that could be the visage. Well, think you geniuses can handle that? And it turns, and it's the Asian guy and the white guy who followed Maeve and this and that.
Yep.
And then you see him turn and look, and there's Maeve's body. He just goes, yeah, we can handle that.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah! Because you know they're going to, you know, try and bring her back.
Right. Unless Dolores has her core in her purse. You know, that's the thing. Because she had, like, 6 cores in her purse.
See, I don't think she does, because, well, maybe, I don't know, Charlotte had them. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I hope not. I bet you she doesn't. I bet you she didn't have the opportunity to cut it out of Maeve's head.
Possible. But then who are the 6 cores that she took with her? I mean, it was at least 6. You know, it could have been more, but I saw 6.
There was a few in there.
So we know one of them's Teddy, because we saw her take it out.
Yes. Yeah, and probably Abernathy.
Yep. Bernard, because, she took his. I don't know.
And we don't know how much time passed that it took her to get Bernard the way she wanted. Was it a year? Was it 2 years?
Right. And she was dressed up in that evening gown that we've seen her in the promotional flashbacks.
The black dress. Yeah. The black dress, yeah.
Yeah, we saw old man Delos briefly, too, in the last episode, where he basically, like, was telling them that he just bought the place and,
and
they were going to celebrate with just him for the next 24 or 48 hours.
Or whatever it is, where he's basically just killing off hosts left and right.
Yep.
Because he can. Because he's a sociopath, I guess.
See, that's the thing. When you look at Westworld as a park and an attraction and stuff like that, I don't know that I would go in there with the intention of killing off people. Even if I knew that they were robots.
Yeah.
I don't know that that would be the first thing I'd want to do. Like, go in and murder people.
I know. See, that's the thing. Is you're in the Wild West. What else is there to do? Have sex with a prostitute. Play poker. Drink. Get into a bar fight. Murder people.
Rob stagecoach, rob train.
Right. Go see the fake scenery. No, go see real scenery.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, because if you're watching a Western movie, that's all you're thinking of. You know, you quick draw somebody.
Right.
I'm definitely going to win. So, anyways, yeah.
So we only saw 3 out of the 6 parks this season.
Yep. I wonder if we'll see more next season.
I get the sense that the next season's going to be taking place mostly outside of the park.
Yeah, it feels like that.
I feel like they would have shut down the park. Yeah, they probably are going to shut down the park. Maybe they'll reopen it.
Well,
with a rebuilt name.
If anything, if you go with the bad publicity, there's no such thing as bad publicity, I mean.
Right.
Maybe more people will want to go check it out because of what happened.
True.
I still think one of my favorite moments of the whole season is when they were in the Japan world, and they did like that same scene from Westworld into the Japan world, but with the Ronins instead, and they had painted black done in the like traditional Japanese instruments.
He's like, look, so I cribbed a few notes, okay?
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, there we go. Season 2's done.
I don't know a lot of shows coming out right off. I know we talked about it in the past, but nothing's ringing a bell, so it'll be interesting to see what we talk about next week.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, I got that video I'm going to send you that's like 20 minutes of previews for NBC and Fox shows coming up or something.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll check that out. But yeah, I guess until then, thanks for listening on the Twitter machine. I'm at Superstar Mel.
He's pointing himself with a thumb.
Yeah.
I'm at the Quantum Geek G33K. Yeah, we got nothing else.
That's it. We're done.
Yeah.
So,
ta-da. Farewell.
I'll be there to say goodbye.